nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
Morning, everyone. This tutorial is about how to simulate graphene nanostructures. So here are some of the instructions. Some of them are, we have gone through, and when we come to exercise, I will show you this page again. So I would like to briefly mention why are we interested in simulating graphene. I know a lot of you probably are familiar with. But anyway, there are a lot of advantages of graphene. Most well known is the high mobility, which was measured at above 15,000. And it has high electron velocity. So from Professor Langstrom's lecture, you probably have learned that when the device is at small scale, what measures its performance is less the mobility, but more of the high electron, the high field characteristics. So the high electron velocity, which can be shown from the figure on the right, that graphene has a high electron velocity over a range of electrical field compared to other semiconductors such as silicon and gallium arsenide, which makes it very ideal for high speed applications such as radio frequency devices. Actually, from the top right figure, you can see that the state of the art graphene field effect transistor has reached 100 gigahertz, which is remarkable. And also, graphene is a 2D material, so which means that if we use a graphene as a channel material, there will be less short channel effects, and which also means the graphene device can scale down much better. So this is just a short introduction, and here is a tutorial outline. So before we talk about graphene, I will talk about how NeMo 5 treats semiconductor surfaces, which is also related to graphene. Then I will discuss about the tight bonding model in graphene. Then afterwards, you will see how to simulate a graphene band structure. And after that, you will have a chance to, I will show you another example of graphene nano ribbon, and you will have a chance to do an exercise. After that, I will show you a simulation of a new type of nanostructure called graphene nano mesh. So first of all, I'll move on to talk about surface treatment in NeMo 5. So why do we need to treat surfaces when we perform a simulation? Mainly because some structures have large surface to volume ratio, and on these surfaces there are some dangling bonds, and if you don't treat them properly, you will see some different characteristics than you expect. I hope this example will demonstrate that to you. Here shows the example input deck file, which is in the package, and I'll just go through the input decks very quickly. And so this is the overview of the input deck. And I will just point out the important part. So the important part is in the domain part, you have this passivate equals false. You can toggle it between true and false. What it does is it decides whether or not it treats the surface. It treats the surface by adding hydrogen atoms to bond with the dangling bond on the surface. So, so in this case, I set the passivate equals false, which means that the surface is not being treated, which means this is just a rough piece of silicon UTB. And then I will show you what its band structure look like. As you expect, the silicon UTB should have a band structure because it's a thin material, which means it's confinement. And you do see a kind of a band structure. However, you also see these red bands in the middle. And this is not exactly what you expect, and we don't know what it is for now. So what we like to do is to identify what these states are. And how do we do that? We get the wave function along the state. So for convenience, we just choose a gamma point or one of the bands and look at its wave function. And in order to set up a solver for the wave function simulation, you just set up a Schrodinger solver, just as Parija or Ganesh has mentioned before. So you set up a Schrodinger solver. However, you only set up one point at the k. So the k points equals 0, 0, and number of nodes equals 1. So you only have one point. And in the output portion, you specify eigenfunctions, and you don't really have to have the energy or k or but you have to have this eigenfunctions set up. So in this case, the eigenfunctions, the first one gives you the dat file, and the second one gives you the wave function in VTK format. So, and the K points, as I mentioned here, you only need one point at the gamma point just to see what the wave function looks like. The other part probably looks similar. So next, I will just show you what you get if you get the wave function and plot it. So if you plot the gamma point at the wave function at the gamma point on one of the red bands. Okay. So if you look at the gamma point, the wave function of this state, you see that. By the way, this is just a thin slice of this material, so it's like this is actually the vertical direction. I probably have shown you, but so you see that the wave function, the colored region, actually only appears on the tail and or head of this structure, which means that it's actually sitting along the surface and nothing appears, almost nothing on the bulk. So we can determine that this is actually just a surface state, and it appears because we have those dangling bonds on the surface, which creates these type of bands, which you really don't want to see when you are doing analysis on this type of structure. In comparison, I will show you another state in the bulk which has a dispersion, which normally this is a state which you expect, and you see the wave function, the color is spreading out all over the structure. So the point that is that if you don't treat the surface, then the dangling bonds will give you these states which are only localized on the surface, and that's not what we want. So how do we do passivation in NeMo 5? As I've shown you here, this is the previous example, the structure, the one slice of the structure, and I set the passivation to false. And to do passivation, you change the passivation to true, which adds the hydrogen atoms to the surface. And just I'll show you the comparison. You see some blue dots. If you zoom in, you see that on the edges, there are some blue dots which represent the hydrogen atom in this case. And also in the solver part, well, in the Schrodinger solver, when you get the EK relation, you not only need to calculate band structure, but also specify this passivate H, because this passivate equals true only adds the hydrogen atom to the domain. If you want the effect of the hydrogen atom to the Hamiltonian, you need to add this passivate H. So you may ask why we need to specify. Well, sometimes you only want it in the domain. You don't want it to affect the band structure. That's a choice. So if we if we see the band structure in this case, we see that those states have been removed. And what it actually happens is that the surface states, after being treated, they're shifted to much higher energy so that they don't appear in the band gap region. Okay, now we can move on to talk about graphene. This is just a picture of graphene lattice, which is a honeycomb shape. And in, first of all, I'll discuss about the model, the tight binding model in NEMO 5. But before that, I want to briefly mention how this lattice is formed. So you probably know that carbon has four valence orbitals, s orbital, one an s orbital, and three p orbitals. In order for a carbon atom to form bonds with its three neighbors, they need to, the orbitals need to come together to form bonds. So the s orbital and two of the p orbitals form sp2 hybridized bond, and then they go on and form the orbitals go on and form the bonds which are 100 degrees to each other, and the remaining pz orbital just sits there unchanged, and it actually sits perpendicular to the plane, and these sp2 bonds form the energy bands called sigma bands, and the pz forms the pi bands, and the pi bands are actually higher energy than the sigma bands. So as you can see that the pz orbitals, the energies correspond to that is much higher than the sp2 orbitals, and therefore and more importantly, only the pz orbital is close to the Fermi level, which is around zero. For that reason, most tight binding models for treatment of graphene or graphite only includes the pz orbital, because only the effect of pz orbital shows in the electron conductivity. So in NEMO 5, we have two types of models. First of all, is a pz model that I just mentioned. It uses only one pz orbital of the carbon atom to describe the band structure. However, in this case, hydrogen passivation will not be possible, because in hydrogen, there's one s orbital, and it does not have any coupling to the pz orbital. So for that reason, we have a new model called pd model, which includes three orbitals, not only the pz, but two d orbitals at the next higher level. As you can see from the figures, these are how what the orbitals look like. And in this case, the hydrogen atoms also are modeled by these three orbitals. And this way, the orbitals of the hydrogen atom has coupling to the orbitals of the carbon atom, which allows surface treatment. So in surface treatment of graphene, this passivate edge is no longer needed in the job list. You just need to calculate the band structure. However, since in this case we make the hydrogen atom explicitly in the domain and in the Hamiltonian edge, so in other words, they are treated almost like another carbon atom but with different parameters. So if you want to make them active, you need to actually, in the domain, specify this command, active hydrogen atoms equals to true, and the default is false. And on the other hand, in the domain session, the passivate equals true, which I showed you in the silicon UTB case, you can just leave it there, or the default is true, so you don't need to worry about it. So here I show you the lattice of graphene. As you can see, each unit cell of graphene, the primitive unit cell, contains two atoms, and the lattice can be obtained by periodically repeating this unit cell along with respect to the lattice bases A1 and A2. And on the right hand side of the figure, I show you the Brillouin zone, the reciprocal lattice and the Brillouin zone. which is a hexagonal shape, and it has its reciprocal lattice spaces. And there are some important symmetry points in the reciprocal in the Brillouin zone, which are the gamma point, the center of the Brillouin zone, K points, the corners of Brillouin zone, and M points, the midpoint on the edge. And these symmetry points are important when we study the band structure. And so in NEMO 5, how do you specify a K point on the Brillouin zone? You use the reciprocal lattice. You, for example, the K point, you express as 1/3 of A1 minus 1/3 of A2. So other points you can also figure it out. So the point is, in the band structure calculation, you need to specify what K points you want to plot. So you need to specify them with respect to the reciprocal lattice. So here is the overview of the input deck, which you also have it, I'm sure. And the material part, carbon, and the crystal structure, graphene. In the geometry part, you define a region that is large. In this case, I define a large enough region. If that's the case, you need to the dimension is actually limited in the domain part. It's an end relation. Whichever is smaller defines the structure. So in here, I just define a large structure in the geometry part. And here, since I only need to specify a unit cell, a primitive unit cell of graphene, and the rest of it is just periodic. So I specify the dimension to be 1 by 1, which is just one unit cell in each direction. And so this one, as I mentioned, the active hydrogen atoms, true. If I have it, then I will add the hydrogen atoms to the edge. And this command is only valid for PD model. In the PZ model, no pacification is possible because there's no coupling, the only one PZ orbital. And the periodicity, since it's a 2D material, so in X, Y direction, it should be periodic. In the Z direction, it's not. And the Miller index basis, primitive, which means that the unit cell is a primitive unit cell, and the lattice basis is what I showed you before, was A1 and A2. And to define a solver, you define a Schrodinger solver, and in the output part, since you want EK relation, you want energy and the K points, and the job list is just calculate band structure. Remember, in the silicon UTB case, you need to have the passivate edge. In here, you don't need it. And the TB basis, which choose what model you want to use, either PZ or PD. And the K point here, as I have mentioned, so the K point defines the path along the Brillouin zone that you want to simulate. So to define that, you just define the points along the path. In this case, zero, from zero to this, and then back to zero, they are all expressed in units of A1 and A2, as I have mentioned. And so in this case, the K point can be defined as 1/3 of A1 minus 1/3 of A2, which you should see here, so which means this is a K point. And M point is just 1/2 of A1, which is here, and this is just gamma point. So from this, you can see the path along the band structure is actually gamma to K to M, then back to gamma. So here I will show you the comparison if you use two different models to plot the band structure of graphene. And you see that the basic feature looks pretty much similar. You see the direct cone crossing at E equals zero. However, you see slight difference between the two. For the PZ model, you see that the graphene band structure is actually symmetric. You can derive the analytical expression for that. It's symmetric along the energy, the direct point. However, if you have a PD model, the energy bands are asymmetric. This is because in this PD model, remember we have two additional orbitals, the d orbitals, which sits at much higher energy, and they have different coupling to these two portions of the pi band. So different coupling induces the asymmetry. And I'll show you here is this paper is where the model comes from. And here you see that it compares the PZPD model, and also it plots the DFT plus GW calculation. And as you can see, the our result here and comparison between ours and the DFT GW is quite close, 1.86, 1.856, 2.7, 2.76. So the point is DFT results are much better reproduced with the PD model, and this is actually just another motivation of why Boy can develop this model in the first hand. So next I'll move on to discuss about how to simulate graphene nanoribbon. So you probably are familiar with this type of structure. It's a thin piece of graphene. So it has confinement along the width direction. This is to open a band gap. So before that, in order to simulate a square structure like a graphene nanoribbon, you need to specify the lattice spaces differently, because you specify the lattice by periodically extending a unit cell. So in this case, we use what's called Cartesian base, which includes these four atoms as one unit cell and repeat them periodically along A1 and A2, which are different from the primitive unit cell bases. And you can see the bases and the Brillouin zone, the reciprocal lattice. And so what needs to be changed really from the previous example is just one part. You change the Miller index spaces from primitive to Cartesian, and then you will have this type of lattice structure. So as an example, I will show you a graphene nanoribbon that has 10 atomic layers thickness and with armchair along the edge. So it's periodic along the y direction, and it's confined along the x and z direction. And in the input deck, you just need to define this unit and specify the structure with periodicity. And so the dimension here, I use 10.1, but it's actually bigger than what I want here. And the periodicity, it's only true along the y direction, and the Miller basis use Cartesian because it's kind of a square lattice. And in the geometry part, that's what I define the geometry. So in here, the dimension is much bigger than the structure, and here I figure out what coordinates exactly are these. I specify them with the minimum and maximum coordinates, and here shows you the result. And as you can see that the armchair graphene nanoribbon has a band gap, which is expected. And you see that from the simulation. You can also try it, play it around with the input deck included in the package. So next I will give you an exercise. So this time instead of a armchair graphene nanoribbon, how about you make a zigzag graphene nanoribbon, which has zigzag along the edge, and this time also 10 atomic layers of thickness. So why don't you just try it out yourself, and we can continue. So if you can just copy the files first to your workspace and expand them using this tar command and specify your directory. And all the input decks are in the package, and also included in the package are the data, which are the results without simulation. So if you have trouble simulating them, in the end, you can just plot those results and see what you should get. So I suppose you have already made the material database link or for the previous examples. Well, since we are running out of time, so you can always play around with the files later. And so here for the zigzag, we specify the periodicity to true in the x direction, and the dimension here just make a big one. And in the geometry part, the y direction is what is confined. So you need to specify the minimum and maximum of y coordinate, and the other two just make them large. And in this geometry and with this dimension will give you the correct geometry of this. And in the solver, you just, since two directions are confined, you only need to specify k points along this x direction. So you just need to specify 0.5. No need to put out the whole coordinate. And number of nodes, you can specify however you want. So this is the result if you plot it correctly, and you see that the zigzag graphene nano ribbon gives a semi-metallic band structure which does not have a band gap. And next I'll move on to talk about a new type of structure called graphene nano mesh. So this is obtained by fabricating periodic holes into graphene, and some people try to make it as a channel material for a transistor, because in this method, a band gap can also be opened up, and the band gap is the size of the band gap is actually related to the hole size. And there are some other applications such as sensor, which they put a DNA in the hole to make it a sensor. But so there are a lot of potential applications. So in this case, if you want to specify a piece of graphene with a hole, you need to define two regions instead of just one. And in the first one, the priority is one which defines the big structure, the supercell, which has 12 and 12 unicell lengths on each direction. And in the second region, you define the hole and you set the priority to higher. So you set the higher priority, and in the domain part, you specify the dimension 12 by 12, and you specify the periodicity, which is periodic in 2D. And in the domain, you only include region 1. So in this way, only region 1 is included in the domain, and region 2 is not. So the NeMo 5 then will treat region 2 as a whole. And if you plot the band structure of this graphene nanomesh with a hole size of 7 unit cells, and you will see the band structure. And you see that the band gap opens up when we have this hole. However, you also see some interesting features like some flat bands along in the band gap. And for the same reason, we need to visualize the wave function at the gamma point to see what the nature of this flat band is. And for that, we perform the similar exercise as the first example for silicon UTB, and we specify a solver that visualizes the wave function. It's a Schrodinger solver So in the output, you specify the eigenfunction in what format you want, in this case, the DAT format and VTK format. And in the solver part, you just include this gamma on gamma solver into the solver. And as a result, if you finish the simulation, you will see a new directory called eigenfunctions. And this is where all the input files are contained.